Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
I'm joined now on the line by Kinda Nasli, a former Syrian TV host and mother of three children. Kinda went from being a recognisable public figure in her home city of Damascus to becoming a refugee in Ireland. Kinda, you're very welcome along to the show. Can you tell me a little bit about your life back in Syria?
Hi to everyone who's listening. I used to work as a TV presenter for almost 19 years. I graduated from English Literature University. I am a mother of three boys. I did have a stable, good life, a successful career, and, a lot of dreams. That's how I refused to live in Syria before, you know, everything happened, the war and everything.
Tell me a little bit about why you had to leave Syria.
Oh, I believe that most of the people know about that. It's just to save my boys. Now, becoming a mother, this is the only thing I thought about. It wasn't about me, myself. It was about their future and their safety and their well-being. You know, they were in dangerous situations, so I didn't have a choice. I did have to leave.
What age are your children, Kinda?
Now my eldest son is 19 years old, and the twins are almost 6 years old. They were newborn in Syria when I left then. Yeah.
Right. Now, so that must have been terribly difficult for you. And, you know, it is a war-torn country. And how did it affect you, practically speaking? What was your day-to-day life like before you left?
How can I describe this? I can tell you one story. Once I was at work, you know, as a presenter yourself, when you're on air, you can't use your cell phone. And I was presenting something, and there was a bomb in my son's school, and the bomb came over the bus, and he watched everything. Few of his friends were died, even his teachers. So, you know, life is just expecting bombs, and every single minute we used to go to half shower, half dressed, because you don't want your neighbors to see you, you know, in a situation. You know, it's very complicated to tell you how it was. It's a kind of schizophrenia. You want to live a life, you cook, you do things, and you're expecting death every single moment. Being kidnapped, church kids, or being, you know, I can't tell you what may happen to women too, you know, being raped or whatever. But your concern is to your kids all the time,
yes,
not to be killed and dead.
Of course. And why Ireland?
In fact, we are people very much concerned about language. We speak a little bit English as a family, my son, me, my husband, and we liked Ireland. It's not, as a refugee, it's not really a choice. You don't choose where to be a refugee. You just want to flee. Just make
sure.
This clear at the beginning. I can answer this like how lucky you are to be in Ireland. I will tell you about that if you don't mind. We speak the same language. We can communicate. Ireland has been through a lot. I mean, as a history, it was occupied 800 years. They suffered. They could overcome the wounds of, you know, all the dark times. And I feel like people who could survive that, who could have been through a lot like us as a refugees, we could share like a human feeling.
So your husband arrived over in 2015 before you. So when you arrived with your children, you were able to go and live with him. He had exited the direct provision system at that stage. So where have you settled, Kinda?
He left the direct provision, and he rented a house for us in Longford. So we joined him to the house. We started living in Longford in our own house here. He has been through the suffering thing, okay, but we could spend the first night in Ireland in our house here.
And how have your children settled in Ireland? Were you able to find schools for them? Were you able to access healthcare that they needed and work, perhaps?
In fact, talking about my kids, yes, they did have access to school directly. My son, he joined the school, I believe, 2 weeks after our arrival. We found that very cooperative because the school welcomed him and he could do very well because he spoke English. My little kids, yes, we did find a place for them too in the creche, and he, my husband, he used to work here in Ireland, not me, because, you know, I was looking about the kids and I tried to understand the system, the culture, the life. So yeah, it was the healthcare was doing well too. Everything was perfect.
Now, you mentioned there that you sensed a kinship with Ireland and our history of being refugees in the past. But you found an unlikely link between that, and that was the writings of Frank McCourt. Of course, he wrote Angela's Ashes. Tell me about your involvement with that.
Oh, it's something that changed my life here, literally. When I discovered Angela's Ashes, one of the long, lonely nights watching Netflix, I found something to know more about Ireland because it surprised me. I tried to find, you know, YouTube films. There are a lot and many, but they're talking about the magnificent, wonderful places in Ireland, but not leading you to the details of the Irish life. But when I discovered that movie, I started searching about Frank McCourt, and that led me to many interviews. I heard the interviews, I learned it from him, and then I read the book. So I couldn't imagine how could a writer be talking about myself, okay? I felt, one time I felt I am Angela herself, one time I felt I am a Frank, one time I felt what they have been through, I have been in through. But what was very important for me is that Frank McCourt gave me a future and a hope. There was even a kind of comparison between Limerick in the 40s and the present situation of Damascus in 2020. And at the same time, it gave me some memories of Damascus in the 40s. Which looks like Ireland today. I'm not talking about economy or investments. Right. No. I'm talking about lifestyle, because sometimes when I introduce myself as a Syrian, people will just imagine or stereotype me as somebody came from desert and camels and whatever.
Yeah.
And being stereotyped, just like Frank or the Irish people, you know, in America, like being a drunk or whatever, it gives me a kind of feeling that they have been through this too. They were stereotyped too, but they could succeed in changing the image, okay? And just make the real and the true image clear and correct.
Okay, so, very interesting. Okay, Frank McCourt. Can I bring in Sarah Meany-Sartori now from Maynooth University? Sarah, you're very welcome. And Kinda's story there, very, very interesting about her history here and how she has got on with it, and for the most part, of course, seems very happy and settled now. The College Connects project that you're involved with, what are its aims?
Our aim really is to sort of support the widening diversity, so just so that we see more students from different backgrounds in our universities, so that it's more representative of Irish life. So the project we're working at the moment is in partnership with the Irish Refugee Council, and it's with refugees and people in the protection process, just around different barriers they're experiencing accessing education in Ireland. So it's a peer research project. So Kinda is one of the researchers on that project, and she was instrumental in bringing the voice of Syrian resettled refugees into that project for us.
I suppose there can be a kind of a view abroad, maybe in Ireland, that once we accept refugees into the country, we put them through the direct provision system, good or bad as that is in some places, and they have food, they have shelter, their children are put in school. And really, you know, that's as much as we can do for them. You would be of the view maybe that there's other needs that go unmet culturally, you know, access to arts, access to work, education.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's the same. I mean, if your kids or my kids, you know, go to America or Australia, I mean, you want more for them than for them to be fed or safe. You know, people have dreams and, you know, people had lives before they left their countries or before they had to flee their country. So there is a kind of a misconception, and it's probably because of what we see in the media, which is, you know, the people on the death boats and the people in the camps. And there's this sort of perception that we all have, well, you're here, you're safe, you food, what more do you want? But, you know, as Kinda sort of explains through her presentation, you know, she had a life before arriving to Ireland, and she's a young woman, and, you know, so are you expected to arrive and have that refugee brand on you? And you know, not pick up or further yourself or contribute to the community. And I think that was what was important for her in discovering Frank McCourt, was making those comparisons and feeling like I'm a part of Ireland.
Now, of course, Kinda has been obviously very accomplished in her previous career. She has excellent English. To what extent do you think is being able to speak the language the real turning point here for people like Kinda and others?
Well, the language, of course, is a huge barrier. And there's also, but I think it's also, that's a huge barrier for the people who arrive in Ireland. But also, I think we need to look at the barriers that we have in our misconceptions or preconceptions of people. Because very often, if people don't speak a language, we might attribute a lack of education on them,
indeed.
Which is not the case.
Indeed.
A lot of people arrive into this country, they have master's degrees, they have qualifications.
Yeah. It's just the communication maybe that's failing there, and we can possibly do an awful lot more of that. All right. Kinda, can I come back to you just finally? Is your hope to stay in Ireland, or would you like to see yourself returning to Damascus at some point?
This is very complicated, the question. Damascus is my home. It's my home. But I would like to stay in Ireland because I'm belonging to Ireland here. My boys are growing up here. They're communicating, they're eating, they're breathing this air, and I am connecting them to this country. We are staying here now, raising our kids, and hopefully they will be good guys, and they will serve this country and pay back the love and the safety it gave them.
All right. Well, you're very welcome again to Longford, and I hope the people there are treating you very well indeed. Kinda Nasley and Sarah Meany Sartori, thanks a million for joining us today on Lunchtime Live.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.